My name's Tom Stinson. I'm a professor at the University of Minnesota, and I'm also the state economist, but today I'm speaking not as a professor from the University of Minnesota or as a representative of the administration, but just as a concerned economist. Mr. Chairman, as you know, I'm very concerned about the outlook for the Minnesota economy. Last Friday's U.S. payroll employment numbers, minus 650-plus thousand for the month of February, were kind of a harsh reminder of how serious the current economic situation is. A well-known forecaster has assessed the national outlook in the following way this morning. The job market is in disarray. An astounding 4.4 million jobs have evaporated since the employment peaked more than a year ago. 2 million of those jobs have been lost in just the past 3 months. Unemployment is at more than 8%, the highest it has been in a quarter century. And leading market indicators for the job situation, including the unemployment benefit claims, record low hours worked, and declining temporary help jobs, point to further massive job losses in the next few months. Mr. Chairman, the question that we all have is how do we break the vicious self-reinforcing cycle where bad news leads consumers to cut back on their spending, and the reduction in demand for goods and services then leads employers to lay off more individuals, which leads to more bad news, which leads to more cutbacks in spending. Part of the answer is the federal stimulus package. It will help. Without it, the U.S. economy would likely lose another 2.2 to 2.5 million jobs, and the recession would likely extend well into 2010. In Minnesota, the stimulus package we estimate is going to save or add 45,000 jobs, reduce projected job losses from 165,000 to 120,000 over the next year. But it has become increasingly clear that more help will be needed to get this economy back on track and that state government needs to help. For state governments, the constitutional prohibition against borrowing for operating expenditures imposes substantial restrictions on what can be done. Still, I believe that some stimulus can be provided through the capital budget process. Now, what I'm talking about here is not the typical capital budget type of activity. Typically, capital budgets support new construction, and historically, only about 15% of the capital budget is spent in the fiscal year following enactment. So delaying that spending for a year or 2 years just simply delays the problem. In our current situation, that's really no help. What we need is help quickly. What's needed is funding for projects where spending can start immediately and funding for projects for which the largest portion of that spending goes to pay wages for the workers that are hired to do the project. The best example of that kind of project is repair and renovation. By borrowing to finance already identified renovation and repair projects, funding labor-intensive projects that can be undertaken almost immediately, state government can add to employment in the short term and hopefully break the downward spiral that I noted earlier. While I have no position on the specific details of any capital budget proposal that might be, I encourage you to think about projects that are repair and renovation and that can be done and started quickly. Waiting until the end of the session to pass this simply delays some of the attempts to stop the downward spiral that we have. And clearly, the sooner we begin to slow this downward spiral in consumer confidence and employment, the sooner confidence will be restored and the sooner we begin adding jobs again.
Thank you. Senator Corning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Stinson,
This is kind of a probably not particularly to the issue that you're talking about right now, but it's too. I read an article the other day, and I can't remember the economist right off the top of my head, but he was talking about the stimulus package that has been done at the federal level, and he was saying that he thinks that it's really a bad thing because what it does is us borrowing money from other countries, it actually takes all the capital or a lot of the capital away from those countries, and it actually destabilizes them in the future. And it could be a dangerous thing for this country militarily in the future if those countries are destabilized. Could you speak to that at all? Or?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cornyn, the U.S. is not the only economy that is in a recession. Most of the world's economies are in a recession. There's excess capacity. There's not a problem of taking resources away from other countries at this point. These resources aren't going to be used until we start the global economy moving again. There isn't going to be this competition. And so really the rest of the world isn't going to pull the global economy out of a recession. The U.S. is going to have to do that. The sooner we get started on that, the better off everybody's going to be. Destabilization geopolitically more often occurs when times are hard rather than when times are better. And so, again, it seems to me that this analysis, this geopolitical analysis, is probably wanting.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Dr. Stinson, I recognize you don't want to give any, you don't want to talk about any specific projects, but could you give us a handle on the 3% issue? That is, how much debt, given this environment, this economy, can our state budget afford to carry in these extraordinary times?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Michelle. That really isn't my responsibility. While I participate in bond rating discussions and conference calls and meetings with the bond raters in New York, and I'm familiar with the broad outline of the issue, the specifics, I don't have anything to comment on at this point. Assistant Commissioner Cardell is here, and she's certainly the person that is the one that knows what's going on that.
Any further questions of Mr. Stinson? Thank you. I would like to follow that question of Senator Michelle's up a little bit. You have this printout in your packet. This comes from the Tax Foundation, and what it does is compare debt per capita debt, state debt, for every state in the United States. And if you look just about three paces up on the left side, Minnesota is number 43 at $1,445. Now this, is, I understand, it doesn't isn't just the geo bonds. This is trunk highway bonds. This is any obligation we have for debt service, like I guess it'll be the Gopher Stadium and some of them. Then if you look at the extreme bottom on the right, that's the U.S. average of the state. That's 2,910. So the state of Minnesota is less than half of the average. And then if you just look at it, some of these states, Alaska, for example, is 9,300, which is, what is that, approaching seven times what ours is. So when you're talking about how much we can handle, we are a low debt state. In fact, in talking to Mr. Tom Hansen, from the who is the Commissioner of Finance, he said we are a low debt state, and I like being low, and I don't intend to take us into a high ranking. It won't, but I think at this time, with the situation we have, there's so much out there that needs to be done, particularly in the fix-up area, and you know when it comes to a lot of that. asset preservation, it's usually energy conservation as well, because they usually do windows, they do roofs, they do boilers, they do this type of thing. So it actually has a payback starting right away. Those things are going to have to be done, and there's no better time to do it in than bad times. A lot of people would say, why are you spending this money in bad times? That's when you get the most bang for the buck as far as what you the bids that come in. You know, we did the Duluth deck. I was talking to some people, and they mentioned that the pilings now came in at 30% less than they expected. And I think they were talking about $36 a foot, $38 a foot, and come down to 26. They're expecting a lot of their bids to come in like 20% below what they expected. So there's a lot of reasons why you should do bonding and building during the down times. You put people to work that aren't working, that makes a lot of difference, but you also get a lot more for your money. So that's why, instead of going for the usual $120 million or even trying to stay below the 3%, I thought this year we should have more than that. Now, I think I'll have the staff hand out the spreadsheet and the bill. I always wait with that because nobody pays any attention to me if I hand it out earlier.
The chairman.
Did he speak? Did Stinson speak already? Yeah. Oh, darn. Man. But he sort of said his support's doing something like this. He thinks it's okay. Yeah.
It's coming.
The other ladies.
It's coming.
It would be nice.
Oh, we know it's $362 million.
Thank you.
Yeah. Understrain themselves.
Oh.
What I'm saying.
Just to follow up on the comments of Mr. Stinson, when I was looking at what to put in this bill, first of all, we went with the asset preservation. In University of Minnesota and Minsky, we call it HEPER, Higher Education Asset Preservation. Normally what happens in a regular bonding year is that I'll start out with quite a bit of that, and then the projects are very popular politically, and that gets squeezed down every step of the way. So this time I put the money in there that would bring us up to about what they asked for last time. And both systems got about half of what they asked for. This would bring it up pretty much to what they'd asked for. And these projects are small projects. I talked to people at Moorhead State, and they said when it comes to these repair projects, they almost always hire small contractors within their community. So it puts people to work. And when you have 54 campuses of Minsky, and I think you had seen this before, the Minsky list. I asked them for a $50 million list, and you got it in your packet here as well. You'll find out that all over the state of Minnesota, it will create jobs and put people to work that normally wouldn't be put to work. Next, I went with some of the projects that didn't make the $825 million last time but are all ready to go. And we can get them going just as soon as we get a bill passed. There were a few newer ones, but in all cases, I always ask, when can you get started? And so there will be a few of those as well. And then there was a few of them that were heavily leveraged, and I'll kind of mention them as I go down the list, where if we come up with some money, it gets a much, much larger project going. There may be three, four things in here you wonder, well, why should we do that? And in those cases, they were just heavily leveraged. So if you just go through the spreadsheet, the simplest to follow. And, of course, you see the University of Minnesota, we do the $35 million for the HEPR and $24 million for the Bell Museum of Natural History, and that is part of the campus and part of the education program. It was also their number one priority on their list. And then when it comes to Minsku, there were four projects that were vetoed last time. What was it, five? Oh, yeah, okay. There were four projects and then some system-wide classroom renovations. And so that is what we do in the area of Minsku. Under education, the Red Lake School, we've had this with us for quite a while. This $5.7 million will build a kitchen that is going to be used by both the middle school and the high school. And it won't go beyond that. There was some talk about them getting some of the stimulus money for the rest of their project. I'm not sure whether they are or not. Under natural resources, we had a flood hazard. It's a large chunk of money, $26 million. I did just get a list from DNR showing what is ready to go now, just as soon as spring breakup comes. And they had $33 million there that was all ready to go. And I guess commitment I've made to many of those communities is I didn't want the lack of state money to hold up any of those projects. It is now, there's a big snowstorm going on up in northwestern Minnesota. And I think towards the end of the week they'll come up with some updates on the flood prediction. And it's probably going to be sounding a little more dangerous as time goes on. But we are beginning to wrap up some of those communities. East Grand Forks, far and away the most expensive, is completed. Warren is completed. There's a lot of small communities like Georgetown and Oslo and Halstead and a few of them. They're all completed. And I'm hoping to wrap up, maybe we can even wrap up Breckenridge with this particular funding here. So this, it isn't just that it's needed, it will be spent this summer, and that's fit the other criteria I had. Then dam renovation and removal, that was in our bill last time and didn't survive, and then the asset preservation is $1 million. That was their request. A pollution control agency, closed landfill, that isn't general obligation bonds. We passed that last time, but we had to change the bonding. Can you remember just exactly? It goes to user finance, and previously?
Mr. Chairman, the problem was the source of revenue used to pay off the revenue bonds was the motor vehicle transfer fee, which should be okay to support revenue bonds. But bond council was concerned that fee looked an awful lot like a tax. And if it were construed to be a tax of statewide application, then the bonds would have to be GO bonds. Yeah. And so that's the reason for the change. The old bonds could not be sold because that fee was considered to be a tax.
And now the fee is coming from?
It's the same fee doing the same work, but the structure has to be the GO bonds with user financing rather than revenue bonds.
Okay. Any questions on that? Okay, then Minnesota Zoological Garden, of course, that's the Minnesota Zoo, $5 million for asset preservation there, and they've got considerably more than that that they really need. Amateur sports, this one has been with us many times. National Volleyball at Rochester, which may be some people say, why are we doing that? Senator Sinjum or Senator Lynch could probably explain that, but that is, for those of you who were there, you remember That was an expansion of what they got, and people come from all over the United States and play there. And during the week, the people that come to the Mayo Clinic tend to fill up the hotels. And the weekend, there's high vacancies, and many of those people are filling up the hotel rooms. So it's really economically bringing an awful lot of people into Minnesota that normally wouldn't come. So that, I think, is why it really kind of fits our criteria this time, too. And then the National Sports Center up at Blaine, those of you who are up there remember that that parking lot was in horrible, horrible shape. They did get some money from, from CAPRA for that roof problem, because that was very crucial. But there will be $1 million for that large parking lot that's crumbling very badly. And military affairs, there was $3,600,000 for asset preservation. Transportation. These are those two. You know, the governor a year ago took $15 million from the airport fund. Now, they wanted it back again, but we weren't able to do that. These are two projects that they think are very crucial and that they get done as soon as possible. So we did come up with them, one for $2 million for Alexandria, and $1,700,000 for Big Fork. So that will go part of the way back toward giving them $15 million back and do some projects they think are very, very crucial. The Duluth Airport Terminal facilities, $4.9 million. There's a $10 million federal match. So in this case, there's more than a 2-to-1 match from the federal government, and that terminal is needed to be replaced. Has been for some time, but this one, I think the leverage we get out of there will really help our economy when there's almost $15 million worth of building when we come up with 4.9. Then the high-speed rail to Chicago is $5 million. It kind of sounds like the federal government and their stimulus is probably going to do something on that line. I know it's somewhat controversial, but we have $5 million for that. Port assistance is $2 million. I think we had that last time, and it got vetoed. That Minnesota Valley Railroad is $5 million. That's quite a stretch that is needed very badly in the western part of the state. I don't know, maybe Senator Frederickson, you probably know somewhat about that, and I don't know if you can enlighten people. It's in your area, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman, it does. It goes from Chaska out to Clara City, I believe it is, and it's been being rebuilt for a few years now, and this would help do the next stage of rebuilding the line. It's used now quite heavily, and its freight carried on the line is increasing every year and will continue to increase, particularly if we can do upgrades like this.
I think there's a 5-mile-an-hour speed limit on that rail.
Mr. Chairman, there's parts of it is 5 miles an hour, and their goal is to get it up to 25 miles an hour.
Yeah. Okay, and that, what is there, one or two ethanol plants?
There's one ethanol plant at Winthrop on the
and goes out of there to the West Coast with a unit train of 100 cars or so. So it's I had heard that they might get $10 million from the federal stimulus.
Mr. Chairman, they're working on that. I'm not sure if they've accomplished that yet or not. But
okay.
Senator Sharon probably knows more about
this. Yeah, Senator Sharon, that's part of your area too.
The first round of money to MnDOT that $10 million was hoped to be in, it wasn't included there. But there's another pot of money that has a larger national competition for it that we'll try to get some money from.
Okay. And the local bridge replacement is $15 million. Last year, we come up with $52 million. The townships got $1.6 million out of that. There's a bridge in Minneapolis that's needed very, very badly, the Lowry Bridge, and they have taken $25 million of the $52 million. A couple, 3 years back, I come up with a design for that, and they said they would go after the federal after that. So, but they are going after the federal stimulus, too, and I'm hoping that they can get that because I don't – I mean, when you start taking that kind of money out of this, that Sauk Rapids Bridge, too, at one time took $18 million out of $40 million or something. So it's a little hard to get down to those small bridges when you get those big chunks – coming in. But this, and these can be done, these will be done this summer. And incidentally, the price of steel is about half what it was a year ago. So it'll go much, much further. Oh, then it'll be the train up to Duluth, $1 million. That's Staples Overpass. If you remember a few years ago, I think it was $600,000 or something. The federal government's coming up with quite a lot of money, and the local community's coming up with quite a bit. Well, do you remember the total? Wasn't it like $6 million or something like that? And if we give them $300,000, they can begin right away. And it's an overpass over Highway 10 that connects the two sides of the town. The one side has got the hospital, and the other side does not. And so it's really a public safety thing. And just $300,000 will probably get several million dollars worth of construction done this summer. Then under Metropolitan Council, quite a few of these are some of the transit ways. Some of them are bus ways. If anybody from metropolitan area wants to put in a pitch for any one of these, Central Corridor is the big one with the 8.5 million dollars. That, as I understand it, is going to be the last of the state's obligation, and then from here on, that 0.25% will kick in and take over. So while we've been giving them quite a lot of money, I think it was $70 million last time. This will kind of wind that up as far as the state obligation. There's two or three trails here that didn't make it last time that were in the bill that we passed, and I put them in, and they will be done almost immediately. I don't know if you go down the list there, I suppose the big one there would be the Kumo Zoo. That was in our bill last time. $11 million, and I would hope that this time it would probably survive. If there's any questions on any of these others under Met Council,
that's the one.
You can, there's people here that know more about this than I do. And under Human Services, that's $2 million was in last year's bill, and the Asset Preservation, $3 million. Veterans Affairs Asset Preservation is $1 million. And then bill passed through Ag and Veterans here the other day on Veterans Cemeteries. That was Senator Fredrickson's bill. And so I put that in here. You could probably explain that to people better than I could.
Mr. Chairman, members, a year ago the legislature asked for a study of the need for additional state veteran cemeteries in the state of Minnesota. And the report came back that there were three areas recommended. One of those areas is centered at Redwood Falls, so that's what's in this provision. And another was for northeast Minnesota, and the last was for southeast Minnesota. And what's in the bill that passed out of Senator Bickerman's committee is money and language for the Redwood Falls site and the northeast Minnesota site.
Any comments on that?
Mr. Chairman, can I make one other comment about the rail line? Because somebody might look at this and wonder, why are we helping a railroad? Well, this rail line is owned by the counties on which the line runs. It's owned by a joint powers organization, and they contract out the operation of the rail line. So the rails themselves are owned by the counties.
And then under corrections, $10 million. Corrections has a very long list of needs there. I think those of you who have been to Stillwater, all you have to do is walk into that place and understand that that's badly needed. There's a Big Lake Regional Ice Arena. Normally, in fact, to begin with, I basically said we're not going to do that till next year. Then I found out there's, of the $3 million project, there's $2.5 million ready to go, and if we come up with the $500,000, they will do that all this summer and fall. So that's a 5-to-1 match. So I felt that would be good at putting people to work. And the next one was the only event center that was vetoed by the governor last year. And that's in Senator Sharon's area. And if you've got any comments, questions on that, why get directed towards her. The Minneapolis Schubert Theater, and I was looking at the figures there, they've raised what was it, 34 and a half million, 35 and a half million?
35 and a half.
And the total project is 41, and they said if they could get 2 million, they would be able to finance the rest and immediately get started with it. So whether you particularly like the project or not, for 2 million, we can get $41 million worth of building. And they said it would employ over 100 construction workers for this season. So that's why that one is in there. Well, that Orchestra Hall, yeah, that's the same as we had in there last year for the $3 million. And the Olmsted County Energy Plant steam line to Rochester Community College, that waste burner there has was expanded, and it now has excess energy, and these pipes would go to their higher education institutions in Rochester, and I think take care of about half their heating needs in the future. So, Senator Ann Lynch, if you wish to comment on that at all, or take any questions?
Mr. Chair, I would just say that I think that it's in fitting with, it's going to put people to work right away. It's in fitting with the work that's been done in this body with regard to green jobs. And it will address our desire to become more energy efficient.
Okay, and the next, St. Falls Civic Center, we did fund them to $2 million this last year. They are all ready to go, and so I felt that that would put a lot of people to work in that area this coming year. And the St. Louis County infrastructure, the story behind that was years ago, Minsku acquired the property that the fairgrounds was on and put their facilities on there, and the agreement from the state was that we would help with the infrastructure when the fairgrounds moved, and that has never been lived up to, and this would take care of that obligation that we had. It really is a state's obligation because the state said that that's what we would do in return for that property. The St. Paul Asian Pacific Cultural Center, that's $4.5 million. The Gillette's Children's Hospital is $10 million. The Regents Hospital is moving out of much of that building, and the Children's Hospital is moving into those spaces. And so this money will be matched, and it will go at least quite a ways towards renovating that hospital space for the Children's Hospital. The Children's Hospital was state-owned until, what was it, 1980-something, I think it was, and then it was turned over to nonprofit. So we've had quite an obligation on that for, I think, since the late 1800s or something like that. We a few years back did give them some money for expanding. Historical Society, that's just asset preservation. And that is it. So any comments or questions? Usually when it comes to something like this, the thing that upsets people the most is what isn't in there. And obviously, being we were going to go a little bigger than normal this year, why a lot of people got the idea that, oh, I can get my project now. Well, I fell several hundred million dollars short of that. Senator Stumpf.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you're correct. This could be just, I may not be seeing it, but it actually came up in Senator Anderson's finance division, and that's the Roseau project on page 8, where we list these different projects for flood damage mitigation. I don't see Roseau, and is that could be an oversight or
it's supposed to be there.
The reason is that the United States Senate is voting on the CORES funding, I think, today, and I haven't heard yet whether they actually passed it. So if we can check on that. And then I have about three short little questions, and most of them are just for information, I guess.
Senator Stump, could you just amend Roseau in? It was supposed to be there.
All right.
So Senator.
I'd move that Roso be included. And I do have the, it did pass out of the, or was accepted by the division, the finance division, and it, the project itself is a core funded project, and they, and I don't know if the mayor is here, he was down, oh, there he is in back.
He was probably having a heart attack back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, right. It's a very important project. It is to work on the diversion around the city of Roseau, which will protect it from future flooding. And so there'll be federal money. The exact breakdown, I think, is a little over $16.4 million federal and then to the state. So I would offer that amendment, and if there's any questions, I'm sure Mayor Pawlowski would.
It was supposed to be in there. In fact, the two that may get quite a bit of federal funding now are Breckenridge and Roseau. And Breckenridge could actually wrap them up. Roseau's got a ways to go yet, but I'm sorry. It was meant to be in there. But, okay, the motion has been made. Any comments on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Carried.
Chairman.
Yep.
On that issue, in the past, Invergrove Heights was listed in this mitigation grant category, and I would like to see them at least listed so they could go in if they needed something. We've named them before, and obviously they're about 8 miles south of St. Paul.
I just looked at Mr. Kent Lockesmo out there, and he shakes his head in the affirmative.
Is that? Yeah, I think we've been in they've yeah. used it quite well over the years, Senator Langs.
Okay, so go ahead.
That'd be all right.
It
I'd move that.
Okay. Motion has been made. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried.
Chairman.
Thank you.
Chairman. Oh.
hope you don't all get ideas about that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been looking through here. You know, I have that small bridge that I told you about, and it must have been an oversight on your part that it's not in here. Is that right? Or?
It's right along with all kinds of other bridges. If your people can get some of this $15 million, more power to them.
Okay.
I don't think we've ever specified
a particular bridge. This is critical. This is critical.
Oh, we did the Shakopee Bridge down there. That was listed because that was $150 million or something. But we'll see how good the state senator does in getting that project moving. Senator
Make
Pappas.
You proud.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think earlier we had a discussion about the I-94 corridor, and that doesn't seem to be on the list.
Oh, that has to be general fund. So they'll have to be a little different route. I was told, except for debt service, I can't have general fund. So that was the reason for that.
Yeah. So the other transit ways and corridors.
That's Senator Cohen's problem. I mean, he said I couldn't have any general fund money. So talk to him.
Mr. Chairman, because we don't have any.
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering about how we're doing the Robert Street Corridor Transitway and the Rush Line and Southwest Corridor Transitway.
Well, that's bondable for some reason, and I'm not the one that makes the decision on that, but they are bondable where the other one wasn't.
I-94 is not.
Oh. Yeah. I suppose it's probably a steady. That's, you know, a steady.
It's too early.
Yeah. I think so. Senator Dale?
So, Mr. Chairman, I've been looking at this list on debt per capita, and Minnesota's number 43, and number 42 is Arkansas at 1,623.
Right.
And so I think with your bill here, adding to the Minnesota's listed $1,445, that adds, according to my arithmetic, that adds another $73 per capita. So you get up to $1,518, not counting Senator Stump's stuff. But at any rate, it still leaves Minnesota in 43rd place.
We didn't budge out of 43rd. I failed.
Mr. Chairman, I know where that we can spend another $100 million.
A lot of people know where we can spend another $100
million. Where are you going to earn it?
Well, Senator Stumps didn't raise the ante at all. It just allowed Roseau to get part of it, which they were supposed to have gotten anyway. But Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if I should bring this up or not, but on page 26, I was just wondering, and maybe Senate Counsel could help me understand this. on line 26.18, where we talk about the Commissioner of Finance transferring money from the general fund to pay for the bond, state bond fund. And I, is that figure $1,089,549,000?
No, somebody else will have to explain that. That I think it's. I think with this bill, it'll be in the area of $16 million, 16 and a half, something like that.
But is this, what does that dollar figure represent?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stump, that does represent the total general fund debt service for the coming biennium. And about $1,066 of that, I believe, is in the February forecast.
Okay.
So we are adding some $23 million to that February forecast number.
Thank you.
Any further comments? This will go to the Finance Committee and then on the floor, and I would hope they'd be up on the floor early in the week. Oh,
late in the week.
You no, want the bill.
We're going to hear it, we're going to hear it Thursday.
Huh?
We're going to hear it Thursday.
Okay. That's assuming it passes this committee.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Scheduling and hearing it Thursday. It won't be reported at the floor till Thursday.
Well, I think they were going to try to arrange that with the. It's going to be after the floor session, right?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think what we hope to do to match what Senator Langseth has talked about relative to trying to get these projects ready to go as quickly as possible is to also expedite our process a little bit and to have the committee report on the floor. Thursday, and then recess, have finance meet, and come back to accept the finance committee report.
It's important that we get it done about April 1st, and the other body seems like they got a different time schedule. And I've talked to the governor's people, and I asked when they were going to come with their bill. They said, no, they were going to react to mine. So I better have something to react to. Senator?
Mr. Chairman, in this, on page 10, the asset preservation and improvement for the zoological gardens, is that figure 500,000 or is that 5 million?
Supposed to be 5 million.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah. Mr. Chairman, yes, there should be a comma after the first three zeros, and then there should be one more zero at the end of that line.
Okay.
I think the addition at the end is correct.
Oh, good.
You read bills, don't you?
We want to get all those people working in Minnesota.
Yeah. My break in there, Mr. Chairman. I'll just pencil it in.
Senator Dill.
With this additional spending or bonding,
what's that?
Where are we at on the 3% rule?
Well, we were in great shape until the revenues fell out of sight. I think, I don't know what I hear, about 3 1/3% or 3.5% or something.
About 3.5.
About 3.5.
With this bill, it's 3.5? Or without it?
Without it.
Without it.
Okay, so then, so without it, it's 3.5. With it, how much is it?
It wasn't going to increase it very much. 3.6 or 3.7 or something.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have made it known in the past that I'm not a big fan of the Bell Museum being built right now. I consider that much more of a want than a need. And I'm still questioning the priority of putting that ahead of more HEPR. And, you know, I think we all have to have some more conversations about this, but to me it would make more sense to take that $24 million and add it to the $35 million that we're using for HEPR for a total of $59 million for the U of M. They have told us that certainly that they have, like $50 million worth of repair needs that could go pretty quick. And I just, to me, it would be a higher priority to take care of those projects. I don't know if it would be less materials and more labor, perhaps, if we put it into HEPR. It may be something that we should look at more closely. And I'm just wondering about, I know that the U's preference was this, but I'm wondering if that is where we as a committee really want to be.
Well, the $35 million, I think, does get us pretty well up to what the the use request was a year ago. And I understand what you're saying, and that's one of the reasons we went so heavy on the asset preservation, because we felt that we had really fallen down for it. I don't know if there's anybody from the U here that, is there somebody from the U that would like to make a comment on?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Donna Peterson from the University of Minnesota, and the Bell Museum was a project that was on the university's list last time. It was in the final bill that was sent to the governor, and it was vetoed. The one-third debt service that the university is required to pay on this, we have been raising those dollars from private contributors, and unlike some of the projects that you fund for us where we have private dollars, there is not one donor. There are many, 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 many people that have been giving to this one-third. It is the expectation that that one-third will be raised completely by private donors. So there is a large public contingency that would like to see this new Bell Museum built.
Any more comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, what was your need for asset preservation, though? You had originally a much bigger number than the $35 million that accumulated over the years.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, last year we had a request that I believe was in the $100 million range, and I believe that our folks testified at your previous hearing that we do have a list that's greater than the current $35 million, but we brought in a list that we thought was something that was reasonable that the committee would consider and potentially actually act upon, and we knew we also had the Bell Museum as well.
This bill has got quite a ways to go, and we've got another body to deal with, so there'll be plenty of time to to discuss priorities. Senator Foley?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. How does this fit in with any of the transportation or those other special funds that we get? Are we pushing in any of that to tie up these projects and have more leverage?
Well, we've been trying to find out just exactly where some of that is coming. In the flood control area, there's a, and I'm not sure if that's the stimulus that they're talking about there. That may be just federal money on that bill that's being passed. Now, I believe that's what it is. But we would have to match Roseau to the tune of about $7 million. And I think Breckenridge to the tune about $6 million, if that federal money were to all come. And I'm not sure about some of the transportation stuff and so on, just how that I've been trying to find out to see if I somehow can match up. If at some point it's critical that we come up with a state match on something, believe me, it'll get put in. It's going to take a little while to get this through. But so far I haven't found out that there's any that I have. The governor had said that he would go along with federal or a state match for any of the federal.
What about the legacy stuff where the money is coming in? Can't you marry those to the general fund or whatever?
Well, I don't know. They're separate, and I don't think we need to match them at all. That's all state money. So. What I'd read was that the RIM program is getting $9 million out of, or that's what this group recommended. And some people were wondering if I shouldn't put RIM money in here. Well, there's $9 million coming from that legacy. So that's one thing, and I'm sure there's considerably more.
Money everywhere.
Chairman?
We can't have it.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering, you mentioned something about the Red Lake School project, and you said it was for a kitchen, a shared kitchen, and it's $5.8 million, and I'm just wondering, it sounds like a lot of money for a kitchen.
Yeah.
Who reviews those proposals, and how big is that student population there? Do they have 800 students or 1,200 students, or how many students are we building this kitchen?
Well, the Department of they have to get approval from the Department of Education, which they have received not only for this, but for more extensive programs. But $5.7 million, it's a lot of money for a kitchen, but what is the student number? Isn't it around 800 or? And then
it's
Kathy thought it was more like 1,300 or 1,500. It would serve, they've got it set up so it would serve both the, what was it, the middle school and the high school. So they were going to be building out from there. And hopefully there's going to be some, they're trying for some federal stimulus money for some of the rest of their building. But they have no private, they have no private land that they can, and their casino doesn't do that well. I mean, if they were a Mystic Lake, we'd say, do it yourself, but... they can't afford to do it. Senator Messon?
Yeah, I just think you've put together a pretty balanced, strong bill here, and if it's appropriate, I would make the motion to move the bill to the Finance Committee if it's, the time is right.
Okay. Yeah, the motion has been made. Anybody want to make any more comments? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Thank you. Meeting adjourned. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.